one of the things I believe that the Bible teaches is how you view things and how that affects your heart. Because I think ministering to people, and not just ministering to people, but being able to go soul winning and being able to affect people, you have to give them your heart to do it effectively. You can do it as a facade for quite a while, but at some point stuff happens and, you know, it grows old after a while. You know, why do we have Sunday school teachers downstairs that have been teaching literally for decades the same class? Because I believe that their heart is in it, okay? Because otherwise, you just, you know, it's exciting for a while and you get excited for a little bit, and then at some point it loses that excitement and it loses, you know, that honeymoon time, and it grows old. And this is true in a relationship too. You know, if your heart's not in the relationship, if you just do it for the lust aspect or whatever, that wanes over time. But when your heart is in it, it changes things. It changes the whole dynamics of it. And but in Lamentations chapter number 3, the Bible says, "Mine eye," so what you see affects your heart. If you'll notice in verse number 48, the Bible says, "Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water." So he's crying. He's been moved to tears. But then it also gives the reason why. "For the destruction of the daughter of my people." And then verse number 51, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city." So it's something that they saw, which affected how they felt. Okay? And I may be trying to get too much in this morning, but I want to kind of talk to this morning about compassion, about having compassion, and not just about having compassion, but seeing past the immediate. Because I think in some ways that's what compassion is. It's not just seeing the person, okay? You sometimes feel sorry for somebody, but it's feeling sorry for somebody isn't really, I don't know that feeling sorry for somebody is really compassion. Feeling sorry for somebody, I mean, I feel sorry for a lot of people. But I felt sorry for, you know, the squirrel I ran over the other day too. But did I do anything for it? No. Seriously. I feel, and I want to be honest about it. I feel compassion for animals that are perhaps, okay, we just, Brother Tom, we had an instance not too long ago, a cow dislocated its hip, okay? I felt, and honestly, after I saw the hip ground completely up, that socket was ground. When I cut it up, that socket was completely ground. And I got thinking, that thing was in extreme pain. I felt compassion. I say compassion. I felt sorry for it. But I didn't spend thousands of dollars trying to fix it. I put it out of its misery. Okay, when I see people, I don't normally just, you know, we don't go around putting people out of their misery. Now, there's some people, it's like, you know, it would just be easier. No, I don't know, maybe I'm too transparent, but, you know, compassion is going past feeling bad for somebody. Right? I feel bad for animals sometimes, okay? But I don't really have compassion on that person or on that animal, okay? Whereas a person, it's like, okay, I feel compassion or I feel bad for them, but that feeling bad for them moves me past just feeling bad for them to helping them, okay? And I'm going to use several illustrations this morning. You know, I hope this makes sense. You know, the story of the Good Samaritan. You know, I think the Levite, when he passed by that man that had been beaten and robbed and everything, I think he felt bad for him, right? I think the Levite felt bad for him. I think the priest felt bad for him. But it was only the Samaritan that actually had compassion because he allowed what he saw to affect his heart. Mine eye affecteth my heart. So what he saw, yes, it was the same thing that the Levite saw, and it was the same thing that the priest saw, But he allowed that to affect his heart. And by allowing it to affect his heart, it affected his hands. Okay? And so when he saw something, and it moved his heart, and then it moved his hands. Okay? So I think there is a difference here. Because I believe that the Levite felt bad for the guy. I mean, you can't see somebody and not feel bad for them. Okay? You can't, I think the priest felt bad for them. But the Samaritan had compassion. This is not just true in soul winning, it's also true in the ministry. I think you have to look past what they appear to, what not just what they appear to be, but what they could be. Okay? It's looking past what they are visibly to what, okay, what's the potential here? All right? And then by doing that, when your eye affects your heart, you can influence people that way. I was thinking about this last night, and I like illustrations, and I was trying to think of something and that would be a that would make sense. And I've been I like, most of you know, I like a lot of different, I don't know, hobbies. I don't really have a hobby, but I like investigating them and whatever. There's a thing, and I brought two of them with me this morning. In fact, I went out last night and cut these, and they're not really high quality, okay? But does anybody know what this is? Brother Don? Brother Don might know what it is. What? Somebody said it. A burl. A burl. Okay? This is a burl. Now, for a lot of people, a burl on a tree, and I brought two of them. Now, I didn't cut any. I've got some really nice ones on our property, but I didn't cut any nice ones. I just cut two junk ones, okay, last night. A burl basically is a knot, a large knot on a tree. And there's different reasons that a burl happens, okay? But a burl is basically, many times if you see, a lot of them are underground. You never see them. You have to dig the tree up to access them. There's a guy over by Clay City. He actually built a sawmill, and it stands on four legs, and he can take in, I think he can cut a 6-foot stump, and he can come in and dig these trees up and go in and set them down on the ground, and he cuts them off in slabs horizontally. Okay? So he cuts them, instead of with the grain, he cuts them across the grain. And the beauty that they show once you get down to a certain depth and they cut across those grains is absolutely amazing, okay? But a burl, this is basically a burl, and many times a burl on a tree, for a typical logger, a burl detracts from the value of the tree, okay? You know, you're looking for a veneer, Brother Don, you're looking for a veneer oak log, and you've got this big cyst, and that's essentially what they are. It's a big growth on this tree. Well, that pretty much eliminates completely that tree. You can't even get regular straight, what we would call structural lumber. When they first started cutting the redwoods out in California, any trees that were like that, they just discarded. Because to them, they had no value. They were just, it was an unsightly, you know, you couldn't cut straight boards out of it because all the grain's all been twisted and it's all deformed inside. And you can't cut straight wood out of it. And so for the structural, for the housing industries, they were considered junk. And then somebody got the bright idea, well, let's cut this apart and see what's inside. So they started cutting them apart. And they started putting them into slabs. And now, If you take this and I cut a small notch out of it, if you come look at I just did this with a saw. It's not been finished. But what it is it's a growth on that tree, and all the grain has all been twisted. It's not straight grained anymore. It's all twisted and contorted. Okay? But these are extremely valuable. Why? Because people know what's actually inside. They know what, not, they don't see this when they cut these. They see what it could be. you know, they sell lumber by what? Board foot, right? Board foot. 12 inches by 12 inches by an inch, right, Brother Don? Is that a board foot? Okay, that's typically the way they sell most lumber. Burl is sold by the pound. By the pound. They'll pay between $2 and $5 a pound for burl. Okay? I was reading on a guy that he goes all over the nation and basically goes to all these sawmills and tries to find all their junk wood. And he goes and buys it. He'll pay up to $50,000 for a large burl. That's pretty amazing. Now everybody's going to be like, wow, I wonder, well, check out that tree. But you know, for most people, you see it and it's like, man, that tree's no good. That tree's useless now. Not when you know the beauty that's inside of it. I got to cut these up and see. For knife handles, I want to get some for Pastor for knife handles. Because it's beautiful. It's a beautiful wood. Ink pens, people make ink pens out of them. Violins and musical instruments. A lot of your musical instruments, they'll use burl wood on them. And, you know, you polish it up and you make it, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. You know, and the thing is, yeah, we can see sometimes what everyone else sees. But do you see what it could be? Because that's where the value's at. It's not in that tree that's all twisted and contorted. It's in the value of what's inside that tree. Okay? That's what makes it valuable. Mine eye affecteth my heart. Go to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to show you. We're going to probably go through these real quick and then I'll reference back to them. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 35. The Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he," what? "Saw." When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Okay? What did Jesus do? He saw, and then it moved him to compassion. It moved him to an action that then helped those people. All right? Go to Matthew chapter number 14. Just flip through. I'm gonna show you how Jesus did this. Matthew 14, verse number 14. Bible says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." Go to chapter number 20, Matthew. Matthew chapter 20. Look at verse number 30. We'll go to verse 30. And the Bible says, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I should do unto you? They said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them. And then did what? And touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." Go to Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. Look at verse number 40. "And there came a leper to him," Mark 1, 40. "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean." You know, you think about leprosy. Leprosy in the Bible is taboo. I mean, you weren't even supposed to go near somebody with leprosy. But, and you know, for the most people I think felt sorry for lepers. You know, they'd probably take some food and set it out for the leper. You know what has made Tommy Tillman so effective? Compassion. The man that will eat with lepers, the man that's not afraid to give that leper a hug, You know that's what has made him different than other people that have tried to reach lepers? Is because he has done what Jesus did. He's been willing to, you know, the Bible says, and of some having compassion, making a what? Difference. You know what a difference is in mathematical terms? It means a what? Subtraction. You know what you have to do in order to have compassion and show compassion? You have to be willing to subtract yourself. Okay? And of some making a difference, or and of some having compassion, making, I don't know, I got it all mixed up now. But seriously, you have to be willing to subtract yourself from the equation and give yourself to that person. Okay? That's what Jesus did. He said, he touched him. Jesus didn't touch everybody, but there were some that he touched. Okay? What was that? Okay? He saw what everyone else saw. He saw the same thing everyone else saw. That person that was maybe missing their fingers or their ears or their nose, he saw that. But he was willing to go, he said, but I know what they can be. Okay? All right. Mark chapter 6. Look at Mark chapter 6. This is basically a repeat of Matthew. Mark 6, verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And then both passages that we read, he feeds them after this. Luke chapter number 7. Go to Luke chapter 7. And this is the story of a funeral procession, basically. Verse number 13, Luke 7, 13. Bible says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. You know, what is this? Now, you know, none of us can go to a funeral and be able to do what Jesus just did here, right? But we can still learn lessons from this. What did Jesus do? He said, all right, I'm not just, you know, there was a lot of people in this funeral procession probably, and I'm sure a lot of them felt sorry for this lady, but there was only one that could make a difference, and it was the one that had compassion, okay? And so what did Jesus do? Jesus went and he said, here, let me help you. Let me take that burden from you for right now. Now, you know what? Her son still died. At some point, her son still died. But Jesus was able to pick that burden up and help her with that for a while. Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter 10. Look at verse 33. I reference this. Story of the Good Samaritan. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had what? Compassion on him. He had compassion. Something that nobody else had. Okay? He saw something inside that nobody else saw. Okay? 15:20. Luke 15:20. All right, this is the story of the prodigal, okay? A little different scenario, but this is the parable, story of the prodigal. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father what? Saw him. His father saw him and had compassion. Listen, it's not just lost people that need compassion. Sometimes it's a safe person. Listen, this is a burl, right? Okay? Do you know what caused this burl? A parasite? A wound of some kind? You know most burls that you see on the outside of a tree? Burls underground are many times, burrows underground are many times caused by buds that were basically terminated. And so they couldn't go out. So it tries to still grow in a compressed condition. And because it's trying to grow in that compressed condition, it's still growing, but it's just not growing well. This is scar tissue. This is scar tissue. You know, most people have scar tissue. Okay? I preached last Sunday morning about, if you were here, about being grafted in. Okay? You can be grafted in. You can be part of the tree and still have scars. Okay? We don't all make good decisions. We make bad decisions. I make bad decisions. You know what? I'm glad that I've gone here for 33 years, minus like three when I was in college. But this was still my home church. I still sent my tithe here. I've gone here for 33 years to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. 33, like longer than 33. All right. I did some stupid stuff. All right. But you know, the people of Blessed Hope, even though I've got this, still said, well, he can still serve God. Okay? Listen, folks, we got a lot of, you know, we're running six buses right now. You know what we bring in a lot of? What the world would cast off and say, we can't use that. You can see it when they come in sometimes. Wow. Where'd they get that one? Maybe a pile of lumber someplace, but some bus worker said, hey, I don't know. It's cutting burls is kind of a gamble. You know, there's a certain part of this that I can't use. It's a void. It's hollow. There's nothing there. But I can salvage some out of this. You know, this one piece of wood could make enough handles for probably 10 knives. And somebody could appreciate it. It could be used for something. But if we just cut them off and throw them away and say, well, we don't need that. All right? What are we? Are we just seeing the outside? Or are we looking past what's inside? Okay? Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes we give chance after chance after chance, and they still go off and they still want to do their own thing. And you know what? God's given everyone a free choice, free will. But we still got to be that good Samaritan that says, all right, let's give him a chance. Let's try. And like I said, it's not all just lost kids that ride in on a church bus. Okay? Many times they're saved kids that made bad choices. But we throw the whole thing away just because they've made some unsightly things. All right? Bible says, Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. But God commendeth. What does commendeth mean? Showed, basically. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were what? Yet sinners. You know what? When Jesus was on the cross, he didn't see me as a perfect, oh, well, you know, he's going to be worth it. You know what he saw me as? A sinner. You know what he saw you as? A sinner. And so when Jesus did that on the cross, when he died on the cross, he was looking past the sin to what, okay, they could be. All right? You must see people not just where they are, but where they will be. I think of the rich man in hell. He didn't just see his brothers as where they were that day. He saw his brothers where they were going to be. And he said, please, just send Lazarus. First he asked for something to ease his pain, and when he couldn't get that, he said, "All right, can you send Lazarus back? Because I don't want them to come to this place." Bible says this place of torment. He didn't just see them where they were at and enjoying life where they were at. He saw where they were going to be. Revelation chapter 21, verse 20, the Bible says, "And I saw," let's go there. I'm trying to quote it. Brother Gerald preached a great message on this not too long ago. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 12. Bible says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You know, sometimes you go on visitation and go soul winning, and you come across the unsavory individuals. Rude. Sometimes they're just nasty, crude. And sometimes it's like, okay, fine, if you don't, you know, whatever, I'll go to the next door. And I understand that. Listen, we knock doors every Wednesday, door-to-door soul winning. I knock doors on Saturday, sometimes other days during the week. You run across those. But do we just give up because they're rough on the outside? Okay. We need to look past to where the Bible says, "I saw the dead." He saw them, okay? And what does that do to us? Where do you see your family? In fact, on the paper, I'm actually just somewhat following the notes for Bible Club. On the paper, I said, list 5 family members that do not go to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I said, I want you to tell me right beside them, what you think. Will they be in heaven? Will they be in hell? Or I don't know. Richard, why'd you do that? Oh, you aren't supposed to judge. Baloney. I'm so sick of the don't judge. Listen, you have to make, listen, I'm judging my family. I've got some family that I judge because I know that they're not saved. I'm not supposed to judge him. You're not showing compassion. Okay? You can like it and lump it. You can be politically incorrect, whatever. Okay? But God's going to judge him. And wouldn't it be much better for me to say, hey, I'm concerned about your soul. Now, listen, we are the Lazarus to go to their brothers. There are no others, okay? But you know what I want these young people to think about? Hey, I've got an aunt. I've got an uncle. Are they saved? What was this question? It was to get them to think. Are they saved? Are they going to heaven? Are they going to hell? You know the amazing thing? I could give you guys all this question, and there would be a lot of thoughts that go through your head. Brother Chad shouldn't ask that. You know, I give this to a 1st through 6th grader, and they'll go up to their aunt and say, hey, I had this question in Bible Club. Do you know you'd go to heaven? That's the difference. I like Bible Club. All right. Compassion. What is required to have compassion? You must see. I believe that you must see people not for just their current situation, but where they could be. All right? Many times, this is an unsightly thing. Many times we deal with unsightly people, unsightly situations. You know why we give people a second chance? Because you never know what's inside here. I had somebody ask me the other day, but Chad, you work at church, and sometimes you know things about different situations. Yeah, I do, but I also know that God gave me another chance. Lots of chances. My mom and dad gave me, my mom and dad's given me lots of chances. The people of Blessed Hope have given me lots of chances. My wife has given me lots of chances. I'm always screwing that up. All right. That's what I'm putting a patio in for, just to, you know, Browning points, just to try to build up a little. All right. Many times it's rejected by common uses. Most of the time it's caused by an injury. You know, we deal with hurting people. We deal with hurting people. Pastor says a lot, this is not a museum for people to come and admire their saintliness. I'm paraphrasing. He said it's a hospital. Okay? We got to reach people. But I will say about these are valuable. These are valuable. Let's not write people off. Lost, or, you know, these kids that come in and, you know, I had a girl, she's moved to Mooresville now. Every 2 weeks, she got on the bus, her hair was a different color. Every 2 weeks. You know, they're trying to fit in with a certain group. Why do you, you know, I know some of you dress the way you do because of conviction. But you know why a lot of Christians dress the way they do? Because you fit in with those you're around. You know what they're doing? They're just trying to fit in. I mean, if you've watched any of the, I don't really recommend it, if you've ever watched any of the new cartoons and look at the characters on those, there's no wonder they look the way they do. Think about that. Why would somebody spike their hair and color it all different colors? Because all your Pokemon characters are? That's probably an old one. That was way back. Honestly, they're just trying to fit in. But you know what that is? It's a cry for help. Okay. Don't throw them away. What did David's brothers see in David? An annoying pest. You just came out here to see the battle. When others just see a shepherd, I love this song. In fact, me and my wife thought about singing it. But when others see a shepherd boy, God sees a king. What did Joseph's brothers see in him? Here comes that dreamer. What did God see? The man that would probably save a huge part of the world from starvation. His own family, he would save his own family. His brothers did throw him away. But God picked him up out of that pit. What did Jesus see in Peter? Kind of a crass, you know, you think about people that, I mean, we got guys around here. They're hardworking men, but they're rough. I kind of think that's what Peter was. Hard worker, but he was rough. But you know what Jesus saw? Pentecost. Listen, this is kind of a temporary thing, all right? Let's look past that nasty into what it could be. And give them a chance. Give it a chance. You know, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure that, and I think there's a certain amount of this with any guy that does logging. You cut into a tree, and it looks really good on the outside. You cut into it, and it's hollow. And there's got to be a certain amount of disappointment. Man, that looked great on the outside. We cut into it, it's all hollow. Right? I think, so Brother Chad, why do we not give our hearts to people? I don't have the verse here, but the Bible talks about having your hearts in your right hand. You know why we don't give our hearts to people? Because we've been hurt. If you give your heart to somebody and they hurt that, it makes you less likely to want to give it to the next person. Because you're afraid that, by instinct, we're selfish. There again, we go back to having compassion, making a difference. We're selfish. We don't want our heart to get hurt. So we shield it. We protect it. We only give so much. All right? Why? And then, okay, well, they walked away from God. Rich, why do you cry sometimes? Which, I wish I knew. Because, not all the time, but I've really tried to give, you know, if I'm, whether it be one of the kids in Bible club, one of the teenagers, and I can't say I've done this 100%, but I try to give at least a portion of my heart to them. And then when they leave, I guess they kind of take a portion of my heart with them. And then when they walk back in the door, it's like a portion of my heart walked back in that door. Well, I just don't know why they should come back. Maybe because we never gave our heart to them. Would you want that for your kids? Would you want somebody to care about your kids that way? I want somebody to care about my kids that way. Okay? Let's try to give our heart. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. You know why? I only dated one woman. I've only ever kissed one. Only girl I ever dated. I married her. She has my heart. So, Brachad, why do you push, you know, waiting and waiting for the perfect one, the right one? Because if you give part of your heart, I don't know that you can ever get that part completely back. That's just my theory. But let's look past sometimes this nasty, two different colors of hair, mohawk, whatever. Let's look a little bit past that to a little bit deeper and let our eye affect our heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I feel like somebody else could have done much better presenting this truth. Lord, I guess I did it the way I knew how. Lord, help us to not give up on people. Help us to give people another chance. Lord, help us to love these bus kids, Lord. And Lord, it's going to hurt to sometimes because they're going to walk away with part of our heart. And Lord, sometimes I feel I don't have perhaps enough heart, enough compassion for everybody. Lord, I fail on that. I feel, Lord, I don't know how you felt on the cross trying to love the whole world with the same amount of compassion for everyone despite what they look like on the outside. God, help us to just spend some time meditating on your word, on how we can give our hearts to others, how we can have compassion, how we can make a difference. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just help me to do better at this. Help me to just love people that you've brought here and help us to invest in their lives. God, I thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, help the services this morning. Thank you for Brother Olson being here and the young ladies from the string ensemble. Lord, I pray that you just bless them. Pray that you bless the morning service and all the activities, Lord, that will be going on today. And we'll give you praise and glory for everything that you do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.